Good morning, a Wednesday morning. We are with Miles Reed, editor of the Daily Gazette. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, David.
Terrible news arrived yesterday after we learned that a state trooper has died after a three-vehicle crash. It's the top story in the paper today. Please explain what's happened.
It happened yesterday about 7:45 in the morning out in Montgomery County. A young trooper named Jeremy Von Ostrand, he was reporting for work at the barracks in the town of Glenn, and he was in his own civilian car, and he was arriving at work, and he was in the roadway, stopped, waiting to take a left into the barracks. He was rear-ended from behind by a box truck that pushed his car into the oncoming lane, and then a pickup truck that was coming towards him hit him. He was taken to Albany Med, where he was eventually died. It was a sad day. There were law enforcement officers from all around the region, ended up going down to Albany Med, as is the tradition when an officer dies like this. And they did a procession back to his home in Schenectady County. He's a 36-year-old trooper. He was remembered immediately as an outstanding trooper, really aggressive. One of these guys who they say they really love to have out on the road. Aggressive, making a lot of stops, but also very professional. He leaves behind a wife and 6-year-old daughter, and there will certainly be a big funeral. They believe at this point it was just an accident, and at this point, the troopers are saying it had nothing to do with the weather. I know there was some rain and some snow around the region on Tuesday morning, but in this case, they don't believe it was weather-related. They think it was caused by something else, whether it was inattention by the driver of the box truck, potentially, or speed. So we'll find out more about that. In the meantime, as I said, he was remembered around the law enforcement community yesterday as a really good officer. He'd been a trooper for about 6 years, and before that, he was a corrections officer. He'd grown up right near Sacandaga up in Mayfield. So he'd been stationed all around the state. He'd finally sort of, quote-unquote, come home to work in his own home area the last couple of years. So it's a sad story.
Certainly is. Our hearts go out to the family. We talked about the St. Clair Hospital's pension issue, and now state lawmakers are calling for a solution.
So this is the latest development in this crisis over the St. Clair's pension not having enough money that we've been reporting the past month now. The latest developments this week, there have been two major developments in this case. One development is that a number of state lawmakers now have come out and pressed and either said the state needs to somehow help bail out this pension fund that is greatly underfunded. And some of them are also saying some combination of the state and the Albany Roman Catholic Diocese needs to help with the bailout. And then most significantly this week, the State Department of Health came out and I think made one of the strongest statements in this case so far. The health department now is pointing its finger at the Roman Catholic Diocese and saying that the diocese is responsible for the quote-unquote mismanagement of this pension fund. And the state is also saying their sense and feeling is that the diocese is morally responsible and they should fund their fair share of this fund. The pension fund has $29 million of assets right now, but they have an estimated liability of about $68 million. And so at this point, they're way underfunded. These are some significant developments along the same lines this week. Is the two state senators who represent Schenectady County, where many of these pensioners and employees from the old St. Clair's Hospital in Schenectady live, George Amador and Jim Tedisco, they both are saying they feel like the state really needs to pay more in to help fund this situation. What they're saying is that the state is the one that ordered the shutdown of St. Clair's 10 years ago and merged. This was this big consolidation effort, the Burger Commission. And so what they're saying is as a result of the state taking this action, that they really bear the responsibility for this underfunding and they should bail it out. The diocese this week has continued to say they don't have a financial responsibility, that they want to create some kind of a dialogue and find a solution. But they are certainly not changing their stance that they're not responsible financially for it. So we will watch this move on, but it's moving very rapidly in terms of the public discussion about it. And we're going to watch it every day.
Finally, Miles, Saratoga City Hall. The work now set to cost $11.2 million.
The latest development this week, we finally had a price tag on what it's going to cost for officials in Saratoga Springs to rehab the city hall that was damaged so badly. So if you recall, back in August, There was a lightning strike and City Hall caught fire. It was late on a Friday night. The fire wasn't too bad, but there was massive water damage to this 150-year-old City Hall that's right in the heart of downtown, this massive structure. The damage has been so extensive that they've been out of there since the fire, and they finally have their arms around what they think it's going to cost to rehab this place, and it's a big price tag. So $11.2 million is what they're estimating overall. They figure they'll get about $4 or $5 million in insurance to recoup the cost. And then the city council, yesterday they were talking about this and saying, listen, we have put off doing all kinds of modernization of the building, plumbing, heating, everything, AC, the whole thing. So we're going to do that now as we get back in there and we fix some things. So they're talking about spending an additional $7 million beyond what they'll get insurance to do this work. They said that they're going to borrow most of it, pay it out over 20 or 30 years. Taxpayers immediately won't get hit too bad, is what they're saying in terms of any kind of tax increase. There will be very nominal impact immediately. But they said they're committed to being in this City Hall. It's this prime location, and it's very visible. It sounds like a pretty unanimous support on all of the council members' part to get this work done. They are voting this week on the budget, and this is an offshoot of a capital expenses budget. But it looks like there's support all around to do it. In the meantime, all of the City Hall functions are being conducted at the City Rec Center over on the city's southeast side. They've been doing that. It's a pretty organized system over there. We've been over there a few times, and it seems to be going well. So that'll be at least until the fall of 2019 is what they're saying, the earliest that they would be able to get everybody back into City Hall. Another part of this is that they're going to, restructure and reorganize some issues and departments in City Hall to make it more logical. And for years, there have been concerns that the police chief and his immediate assistants are up on the second floor and the rest of the police department's down in the basement. And they're going to get all that group together. And they're going to actually, as part of this plan, add a city courtroom. They've got one city courtroom that's pretty busy. The state's been urging them to get another one. So they're going to build a new one of those too. So they're trying to make some improvements at the same time as they do this rehab.
Miles Reed, editor of the Daily Gazette, joins us on Wednesdays. For more, head to dailygazette.com, and there's more of our conversation online at wamc.org. Miles, thank you.
Thank you, David.